This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we got one more hour here. Sunday Mass, Christian Arkent, WEEI, Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original. We're coming to you live here in Boston, up in Maine, New Hampshire, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the islands. You can hear us in Connecticut as well. You can hear us all over the place. And we certainly appreciate you for tuning in. You can call the show at 617-779-7937. During the break, I was doing a little bit more research on Boston Connor, and guess what? Him and I went to the same high school. I'm not kidding. Boston Connor, well after me. He's younger. He's considerably younger than I am. But he is a graduate. He is a proud, I don't know if he's a proud graduate, but he's a graduate of BBN, just like me. And yeah, I did not know that. But now I will say this. I root for Laundry, and I will root for Boston Connor and his success, just like I root for every other BBN Knight alumnus. All of them. That is, I guess he's a Winchester guy. Winchester guy went to BBN. Fairfield, I think he interned at Barstool back when McAfee was still part of the Barstool Network. And now he's a big TV star, so props to him. And I'm sorry I said you look like you're from Wyoming. Or it was sort of like, he does have kind of a Florabama thing going on. You know, like he's cultivated a pretty good look for himself. But, yeah, I wouldn't have thought. I heard him react there to the DK Metcalf news, and I thought that doesn't sound like a guy from Boston. But, hey, listen, you know, people change. At any rate, congrats to him, and go Knights. That being said, I'd be interested in knowing what his reaction last night. It was probably not quite as many yee-haws as you got there with the DK Metcalf news, but I'm sure he had a much more morose, sad reaction to Brad Marchand getting traded to the Florida Panthers. Now, I got my crack at this during the week when the trade deadline went down, and at the very last minute, they end up trading Marchand to Florida, of all places, of all freaking places. I said this already, but I was really hoping it would be out west. I was really hoping they'd ship him out west, and I wouldn't have to, see him, or see him in a jersey that really pissed me off. I was hoping it would be Colorado or, you know, Dallas or Vegas or something. I don't know. I assume that's where they would swing the trade. And if it wasn't going to be out west, could you at least make it in the metropolitan? You know, not right in division. Can you send him over to the other one? And if you absolutely have to trade him in division, can it not be the blankety blankin' freaking Florida Panthers, who I hate now more than I think I hate them the most. I think I hate the Panthers more than any other hockey team. I hate the Panthers so much, I had trouble rooting for Team USA. I didn't want Tkachuk to win. I cannot root for them. People have been asking me this all week. Are you going to root for Florida now? No, I'm not. I'm not rooting for Florida. I love Brad Marchand. I'm going to miss him, but I'm not rooting for him, and I'm not rooting for that team. I'm just not. I'm sorry. The laundry still matters to an extent. And by the way, the Bruins looked pretty good yesterday against that Tampa Bay Lightning team. Where did that come from? Jeremy Swayman doing backflips in the crease. Kastelic settling old scores with Emil Lilleberg, which that was a nice fight. That was because I remember that back in January when those two went at it. It was like the end of the game, and Lilleberg's kind of bounced his head off the ice at the end of the game, and then he was out with a concussion for a couple weeks. And Castle, he went right after him. He was right there. They were scrapping. That was a nice little squabble. I enjoyed that. And the Bruins, I mean, listen, they kept the pressure on and didn't take their foot off the gas for that entire game. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think they're going to be better than they were with Charlie Coyle and Brad Marchand, Brandon Carlo, and the rest of those guys. But you saw it when they fired Montgomery. There was a little bump there. I wonder if you're going to see something similar. I wonder if you're just going to see a little, I don't want to call it a dead cat bounce because you kind of already had that. Don't want to offend any cat owners out there. Already offending people today there, Jacob, right? But yeah, that's a real thing. Trade deadline boosts, you get that. You do get that. Doesn't happen for very long, but we'll see. And David Pastrnak's still there. Elias Lindholm, I mean, he's not having a good year, but maybe now that the pressure's off a little bit. Same with Zadorov. Zadorov had an empty netter in that game last night. And how about Jeremy Swayman? Maybe this is what Jeremy Swayman needs. All right, we blew up the team. Okay, the season's, season's kind of a wash. It's a lost season. And I just go out there and play. He looked good yesterday. Whole team looked good. I don't think anyone's at. Can you remember a time, Jacob, where a team blew up the roster at the deadline and then also won the Stanley Cup? Because I don't think that's ever happened. I'm pretty sure it hasn't.
I mean, the last team that was doing really badly and then won the Stanley Cup was the St. Louis Blues in 2019.
Right. Yeah. They didn't trade off all their good players, though, you know?
Like, I don't think that's ever happened.
They were having a bad season. I can't remember a time that a team really blew it up at the deadline and then caught fire, won the cup. And I don't think that's going to happen here either. But it is, at the very least, worth pointing out that they're not far out. And I heard Bridget and Razor and Scott talking about this, and they're right. This didn't have to happen. It really didn't. The wild card right now is possessed by the Ottawa Senators, who have a very nice 69 points, and the Columbus Blue Jackets with 68. The Rangers have 68, Red Wings have 66, Montreal has 66, and the Bruins have 66. They're 2 points out. They have games in hand, which were very late in the season for them to still have two, sometimes three games in hand over these people. But they do, and that's just, the way it is for now. But listen, stranger things have happened. You get down the stretch in the NHL regular season, like weird stuff happens. It's like the witching hour in football, but it's an entire month before you get to the playoffs. It's not unusual. And I do think that with the Bruins, you're likely not going to be seeing that. I don't think there's enough talent here, and that even if they do get a little adrenaline boost from the big trade deadline, I think that'll probably burn out, and then you'll see them fall back down the standings, and that's where they belong. Listen, they're not a good team, and they haven't had a good year, and their point differential's atrocious, and they're just a bunch of frauds. Other than the David Pastrnak. Pastrnak's been good. Geeky's been good. Aside from that, I mean, really, a lot of them are gone. Charlie Coyle had a major down year. Brandon Carlo, great return for him. Great return for Coyle, too. Great return for Trent Frederick. Really great returns all around, except for Brad Marchand. And I'm still not too sure what to make of that. We talked to Scott yesterday, and I heard him talking about it again. Or not yesterday, on Friday. And I heard him talking about it again here with Razor and Bridget before I came on the air. Is that the injury really threw a wrench in all of this? And I can see why it would, and maybe you're not going to get exactly what you thought you'd get for Brad Marchand. But Trent Frederick was injured too. And you got a second, a fourth, and a player. But injured Brad Marchand is only going to net a conditional second? That just doesn't square. And my theory, in case you missed it on Friday, my theory on this is that Don Sweeney was swinging good trades and thinking, this is a real seller's market. Look at these returns I'm getting. I'm going to really hold out for Brad Marchand. I'm going to really try and maximize my return on him because, number one, he's a core Bruin. He's a Bruins legend, one of the best left wingers in the history of the organization, et cetera, et cetera. If we're going to trade him, it's got to be for something really big and really special, and we got to be able to sell it to the fan base. And I think that was important to him. I think that was important to everybody. And then you get there. You're holding out. You're talking to the Avalanche, you're talking to the Stars, you're talking to the Knights, you're talking to whoever. And all of a sudden, you hold out a little too long, and these teams start pivoting other directions. Well, that's what you want for Marchand. All right, let's take a look at Brock Nelson, who's healthy, by the way. And, I don't know, Charlie Coyle. Not quite. Sidney Crosby and Brad Marchand, but, you know, not terrible. Let's pivot that way. I have those guys playing with McKinnon instead of Team Canada reuniting in Denver there, which I always thought was a bit of a reach. But either way, you know, you pivot. You move on to the next thing. You try something else. This is not me knowing anything. This is just based on what the return was and what the returns were for these other players. I think they really bluffed hard with Marchand and probably got some better offers than a conditional second. I have to believe there were better offers than that. But those offers went off the table when teams pivoted in a new direction. You get right to the deadline. The thing didn't get announced until like 3:10, 3:15. So, you know, you go right up to the line and then come out with the announcement he's getting traded to Florida and, oh, yeah, it's for a conditional second-round pick. You mean to tell me that there was a bidding war for Brad Marchand? That you had all these teams out there? Because that's what we heard on Thursday, right? Teams aren't being told no. Go ahead, Jacob.
No, the one time that did work, this trade deadline, was with Carlo, because they really waited that one out to announce it or to make that trade, and it ended up working out really well for the Bruins there. That return is insane.
Great return for Carlo, I agree. And I think that Carlo was going to get good value, but losing him wasn't going to have the same impact as losing Marchand. So I think that Sweeney wanted to really hold out with Marchand and really wait until he got the godfather offer, and it never came. And if there were teams bidding, because on Thursday, that's what they said, right? They said teams aren't being told no. Teams, multiple teams. So if there's multiple teams bidding, you're telling me the winning bid was a conditional second-round pick from the Florida Panthers? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think something else happened there. If there was teams calling in, playoff teams, that were really hot for Marchand and knew that he would come back from his injury, then I refuse to believe that the winning bid was a conditional second-round pick, and that was the best they could do. Now, Marchand has a no-trade clause, so maybe he rejected some of the potential moves that could have been made, and maybe he wanted to stick it to the Bruins for trading him in the first place by going to the rival. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I wasn't there. But something fishy going on here. I declare shenanigans that the best return they could have possibly got was a conditional second-round pick. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your Brad Marchand conversation. Elliot Friedman has some more details into what led to the trade, the extension talks, how they broke down, and maybe some communication problems going on between the team and the player. Surprise, surprise, we'll get to all of that right after Jacob Lastner gets you.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Caught up on what's trending. Brad Marchand. What really happened here? A lot of theories. I was giving you some of them just then. Elliot Friedman has more. And Jacob, if we have this, we can start and stop with Elliot Friedman and his look into the inner workings of the Boston Bruins at the trade deadline, a trade deadline that I ultimately think was a positive one, and not just because they beat Tampa yesterday. I mean, that was a nice win. But I do think it was a necessary shakeup. I think it was something that was a long time coming. And all in all, I think the team will be better in the long run because of this. It was something that the longer you postpone it, the worse your situation can become. And I think this year we had seen about as bad as they wanted it to get, or as bad as they were comfortable with it getting. It may get worse, you know, now, but things have to get worse before they get better most times. And Elliot Friedman on, what was this on yesterday? Was this on TSN, I think?
Hockey Night in Canada.
Hockey Night in Canada, excuse me. On Hockey Night in Canada last night, Elliot Friedman pulled back the curtain on what was a very dramatic and very, in some cases, traumatic trade deadline for your Boston Bruins.
Just a few more things I wanted to go over from the Marchand situation. Number one, I think the Bruins and the player had agreed on term, 3 years. But as Don Sweeney said yesterday, there was a gap, and there was a gap on AAV. And I don't think he was being asked to take a pay cut or anything like that, but I do think it was a sizable gap that they obviously could not bridge.
Timeout.
Where
stop
I think
right
this
there,
really
Jake.
Went sideways.
If you could pause it for a second there. There was a gap. They weren't asking him to take a pay cut, but there was a gap. Well, how does that make sense? He wanted less money. he came to the team and said, "Hey, I'd like you to pay me less money," or he came and said, "I'd like to get more equal or more of what I was getting before," and they said, "No, there's a gap." Like, where was the gap? If he wasn't getting asked to take a pay cut, then where could the gap have been? Right? Like, that doesn't make sense. Unless he's got the worst agent in the history of the world. Anyway, keep it going.
Where I think this really went sideways was there was a point this week where Brad Marchand, who was currently injured and not in the lineup, asked for a face-to-face meeting with Bruins management. I don't know exactly when it was. I don't know exactly who was there, but it did happen. And in that meeting, Brad Marchand asked for a compromise. He said, "I will compromise. I will bend on some of my ask. I'm asking the Bruins to bend on some of their stance, and we'll find a way to get this deal done," because he wanted to stay as a Bruin. And it just didn't happen. The Bruins had gone as far as they were willing to go. And look, anybody out here watching hockey in the hockey world has watched Brad Marchand play. We know he's going to the Hall of Fame for one major reason. He's got an incredible amount of pride, and he puts everything on the line.
Okay, stop it there.
He was
there,
really stung by that. And then all of a sudden.
That part there is the part that's getting the most run. The part you just heard about the face-to-face meeting. Brad Marchand realized the extension talks weren't going the way that he wanted. He was being stubborn about his ask. They were asking him to take a pay cut, let's be honest here. And ultimately, he said, let's get down face-to-face and let's hammer this out. Now, we're getting probably, I would think, his side of this. I don't think the Bruins are out there telling everybody that, yeah, the player really wanted a face-to-face meeting and we didn't want to do it, but we ended up sitting there and doing it and we didn't like it, and so we traded him. Like, that's, I don't think that's coming from the Bruins. It doesn't sound like something that would come from the Bruins. Sounds like it's coming from the agent. Sounds like it's coming from the player. I don't know if it is or not. Just that's what it sounds like. And so, if that's true, if he got in a room with Sweeney, Neely, I doubt that Jacobs were there, but maybe those two guys were there, and said, "Let's compromise. I'm willing to come down off my ask, but you guys have to come up a little bit," and they wouldn't. Hey. It's a cold world, man, I'll tell you that. It really is. It's a business. The team with him on it as captain was not really prospering in any demonstrable way. I don't know if that was all his fault. We can discuss his captaincy and if you think that had something to do with the fact that the team took a hit this year. Personally, I think it was a small factor, not a big one. I don't think it would have mattered if Pasternak or McAvoy or somebody else was a captain. I just don't think this team had particularly strong leadership in that room. And Marchand, to me, always seemed like a guy who was not, I don't want to say didn't have the makings of being a captain. He's been in the league a long time. He's a guy who worked his way into where he is. Like, he's got a lot of admirable qualities. And listen, I love Brett Marchand. I loved watching him play. I'm going to certainly miss him. And it would have been nice if he could have comfortably ended his career here, but that's not the way it works. You know, it's sports. We saw Tom Brady go to Tampa Bay. It's sports. Yeah, it's just that's the way it is. And unfortunately, now that he's going to Florida, not only is it sad that he's gone, but now I have to root against him. I'm not rooting for Florida. I know a lot of people are, and if you are, I'm not saying you shouldn't. You do whatever you want. It's a free country. But I'm not rooting for the Florida Panthers. I'm just not. I hate the Florida Panthers. I hate Tkachuk. I hate Bobrovsky. I hate both Sams. I hate Bennett. I hate Ryan. I hate all the Sams. I hate Barkov. I just don't like them. I think that they're a good team, obviously. But there's a lot of good teams out there I don't like. Yankees were a good team. What, I got to like the Yankees? Come on. The Bruins... Eventually, we're going to have to face this. Eventually, it was going to have to come to this. I think that once the decision got made, the extension talk wasn't really a viable conversation anymore, and it seems like maybe Brad Marchand didn't quite grasp that. once the decision got made that this season was over, that this was going to be a lost season, and that things were just not progressing at all, I think the Marchand decision got made. And then he tries to come back to the table. They're not willing to budge. And everybody comes to the agreement, okay, maybe the best thing to do is just to trade him. And he thinks, yeah, maybe I should get on out of here because this is an insulting offer and whatever. And then you can argue the merits of that. Then the team can come out and say, hey, we offered what we thought was right. He can say, hey, they really lowballed me and disrespected me. And it's one perspective against the other one, as opposed to a one-sided type of thing where it's just, yeah, this is obviously what happened. He obviously said this or did that, or the team obviously said this or did that. You can, I still don't buy it, but there's some reasonable doubt now. And that was it. They made their decision. I understand how you get to the point of no return with a player like that, with your captain. Once you start exploring the idea of trading him, it's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, it's hard to then go back and say, okay, captain, we dangled you out there, and we tried to trade you, but no one wanted you, or we couldn't find a deal that we liked, so we're going to have you back, and you're still going to be a Bruin, and keep being the leader, and we love you, buddy. You know, like, it's just, it's awkward. It's hard to come back from that. Once you cross that threshold, you more often than not have to go all the way. You can't circle back. You can't circle back with your captain, with a guy like Brad Marchand. I mean, there's too much. There's too much history there. Once you broach that topic, that's it. It's broached. You remember with the Celtics and Ray Allen? They tried to trade him for like O.J. Mayo or something. And when that fell through, he never felt the same about the team. And he ended up going and signing with Miami. There was a grudge there. He signed with Miami for less money. And I think that was in part because he felt disrespected. And I think that Brad Marchand, I mean, listen, if he really felt disrespected, then that may be why he didn't get a good return. The Florida Panthers wanted him, but they weren't going to go crazy for him. The Bruins knew they had to trade him. They couldn't bring him back now that they've hit the point of no return with him in this trade talk. And so he says, sure, yeah, you can trade me, but I'm only going to Florida. That's the only team I'll go to. So whatever they offer you, you better take it. Could have been that. Whatever it was the worst trade the Bruins made. It was the worst one that they made. It may have been the most necessary one that they made, but it was the worst return by far, I'd say, out of all of them. That includes Trent Frederick. That includes clearly Brandon Carlo and Charlie Coyle. Even maybe Justin Brazeau. I mean, he got a couple players back for Brazeau. Who knows? I mean, we know one of them. Locko's the fourth liner. But, I mean, you know, we don't know what the conditional second round pick's going to be. Maybe worse than Jacob Locko. Who knows? All I know is that the Bruins now have to face the future. And the future can be a scary place when you've been competing. And not just competing, but I'd say in the upper echelon of Eastern Conference teams here for close to 20 years. A little less than that, more like 15, I guess. But like, you've been in that upper echelon, with a couple of exceptions, for a long time. You don't have the same kind of championship resume that the Patriots did in 20 years. But in terms of being competitive, in terms of consistently being a playoff team, in terms of regular season play, you know, like that type of thing, which counts. I mean, it doesn't mean you're hanging banners for that, but it is something to keep your fans engaged and giving your team a chance every year. They choked most of those years, but it was better than the alternative. It was better than sucking every year and not being in it and your season being over in February. Like, that's a much worse fate than what we had here for the past 15 years of the Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, Milan Lucic, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask, etc., Boston Bruins. It was a pretty good era. Pretty good. Not great. There were some great players. Bergeron, great player. Chara, great player. Marchand, great player. And all three, I think, Hall of Famers. But I do think you can make the argument that they underachieved a bit, that they should have another cup. And you can also make the argument that the combination of Peter Chiarelli and Don Sweeney failed them in some ways. that they were never quite able to put the right matchups together and get the right team out there that was able to break through a second time without having Tim Thomas to do backflips and save their bacon. I don't know if I'd fully go there. I do think there's some years where you could say that. I don't think that was a consistent thing year in and year out. Sometimes the players just failed. Sometimes the players just ran out of gas in the postseason. And that was another thing that was kind of emblematic of those years, is that this team would look great all through the regular season and sometimes through a round or two of the playoffs too. And when it ended, when they ran out of gas hard. And that was Bergeron, that was Chara, that was all of them. I mean, that was the greats. Those were all those guys. There's examples of all of them in the playoffs completely melting down. Marchand in 2019. I mean, there's just, you know, it was part of it. It's just part of the experience. And they broke your heart a bunch too. But they kept you engaged and they were competitive. And sometimes you take that for granted. We'll see. We'll see what the next generation of Boston Bruins hockey looks like. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be very dependent on a lot of these draft picks. This year, this trade deadline, all these draft picks and young players that are getting brought in, we'll see who can actually play. But the draft picks, first, second round picks, conditional seconds, going all the way to maybe 2028. That's what this was all about. I heard Razor defending Sweeney's drafting record and saying that it wasn't actually that bad because guys like Trent Frederick and Johnny Beecher and guys like that were hits, Poitras hit, you know, those type of players. And I would say, to an extent, he's not wrong about them being viable and, you know, reasonably productive NHL players. Trent Frederick, I think, was someone we kind of hoped would develop into a little bit more than what he is, but whatever, you got a good return for him, even though he was injured. He gave you some good years here. Tough kid. Beecher, same kind of deal. I mean, I think that, you know, there wasn't supremely high expectations for him or anything, but every once in a while you expect one of these guys to outplay their expectations, like Pasternak or somebody who just, you know, maybe they got overlooked a little bit and they got something to prove, and then they hit the AHL and they're just on fire and you got to promote, you know, like that type of thing. When's the last time you had a guy like that? Not all of those guys, not every single one of those guys get drafted in the top 5 or the top 10 or even the top 15. Now, the Bruins will have a top 15 pick this year. I think that's a foregone conclusion. If it's not, then I guess we'll see. But they're going to have to draft their way out of this. They're going to have to absolutely draft their way out of this position that they're in. And that's not proven to be a thing that Don Sweeney does all that confidently. So I'm interested in seeing how that all works. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Jay is in North Carolina with a thought on the Bruins. Hi, Jay.
Arcan, you are killing me. Marchand is going to demand less money.
Right.
Anyway, I may be blowing smoke up my butt. Not mm-hmm. the word I want to use, but you got it.
I know what you mean.
What I saw from the Carolina Hurricanes and the Tampa Bay Lightning, I may be wrong, but if they get into the playoffs, they could be a team with which to be reckoned. As I say, I didn't cry when Tinkerbell died. I didn't think Bam was a real story, but they can beat the upper echelon teams that can do that. So we'll see. We'll see, Arkan. Thanks for your show.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks for checking in there, Jay. I don't know. I mean, the Bruins, it's the NHL. You know, things can happen, and they're not far off. But I think a move like that, even if there is a bit of a bump here in the interim, a move like that eventually is going to have guys starting to shut it down. And, you know, they've lost 8 out of 9, something ridiculous like that. They had this awful streak here. And I feel like if they had just played .500 hockey and Jeremy Swayman just played average goal and you had maybe 2 or 3 guys other than David Pastrnak contributing on offense, you might have been able to avoid this. Like, I don't think that this was inevitable this year. And maybe it should have been. I know I just spent all this time talking about how it was a long time coming, but if you're back there in the playoffs, you can always talk yourself out of it. And the Jacobs did that for years and years and years. If you're a playoff team, you can talk yourself out of any flaw that your team has because it's the Stanley Cup playoffs and anything can happen. And a lot of weird things have happened. But with the Bruins, the weirdness seemed to miss them. With the Bruins, it always seemed to be the same kind of deal, with a couple of exceptions. But generally, you're talking about a first, second-round exit. And that's a shame. It's a shame that this group, this really fun group, it was fun to root for them for all this time. It's a shame that they weren't able to reap more rewards from the talent that they had. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Mention Don Sweeney and drafting your way out of it. Do you trust Don Sweeney to do that? Do you trust Don Sweeney to be the guy that's going to draft the Bruins out of this predicament that they're in, which was largely a result, I believe, of his drafting? I guess we'll discuss that. We'll give a preview of the Boston Red Sox and the Atlanta Braves, who play today at 1 o'clock and who will be coming up right after me on WEEI. That's all coming up in the final segment after this. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here, and then it's time to hand things over to the Boston Red Sox. I believe it's Joe Castiglione and Rob Bradford on the call. Is that right, Jacob? Did I hear that right in trending today? What a duo that is. Joe Castiglione can't stay away. You know, you think it's this Tom Brady thing. You know, you think you're ready to retire and life's going to be great, and all of a sudden the season starts back up, and you're like, ugh. Joe's like grinding his teeth. He's like, I got to get back out there. Anyways, nice to hear him. I didn't think we'd be hearing from Joe for a while, at least. But now, here we go. I turned on the other day. I heard him calling the game. It's going to make it harder now to not hear him during the regular season. But that's coming up today at JetBlue Park. 1:05 first pitch. Your starting lineup looks like this. Dick Fitz is going to be starting on the mound. Jaron Duran leading off in left, followed by Alex Bregman in third. Trevor Story at short. David Hamilton, your second baseman. Connor Wong doing the catching. Rob Refsnyder will bat sixth and play right field. Your DH is Sadan Rafaela batting seventh. Romy Gonzalez at first. And Trace Thompson, brother of Clay Thompson, son of Michael Thompson, who has been killing it this spring. Trace Thompson, I think, leads the Grapefruit League in home runs. He's hitting dingers left and right. So I wonder. I mean, the Red Sox already have a pretty crowded outfield. I don't know if there's room for Trace Thompson, but he's definitely swinging a pretty good bat right there. Also, I don't know if this is still the case, but I think that Michael Thompson and Clay Thompson, the two of them, have scored more points than Stephen Del Curry. I think that father-son duo, you might want to fact-check me on this, Jacob, but I think that Michael and Clay Thompson, Michael with a Y, have more career points than Curry and Curry, than the Currys, obviously. And I know that was, I know for sure that that was the case a few years ago. Curry may have passed him now. He may have pulled up Dell and passed him, but Thompson's been playing the whole time too, so I think not. At any rate, it's a good trivia question there. Which father-son duo scored more points, the Thompsons or the Currys? At one point, I think it's still true, but it was the Thompsons. And you saw Michael. Michael Thompson was there. He was at the Garden last night. And that was a fun night. What was not so much fun was the Boston Bruins. Although that game was fun, but it was still overshadowed by the fact that the team got completely blown up. First time that's happened in about 20 years. If you consider 06, I mean, that was sort of, as McLaughlin said on Friday, that was kind of it didn't all happen at once like it did here. Like, this may be one of the biggest trade deadlines in the history of the Bruins organization ever, I think.
Arcand, I do have some unfortunate news for you. The Curry father and son duo have a lot more points than the Thompson father and son duo.
They passed the Thompsons. All right, so Curry must have, Steph Curry must have passed them. I knew at one point that the Thompsons were ahead. But I guess Steph is he's been scoring too much. And Thompson missed a couple years, right? Didn't he miss a year with the Achilles or something? So, yeah, that probably killed it there. So how much more is it?
Over 8,000.
Over 8,000? My word. All right, well, there you go.
Actually, no, just under 8,000.
Just under 8,000? Does that include Seth Curry, too? Is that the whole family?
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that, but no.
Okay. All right, well, anyway. Then it has been passed. At any rate, with Don Sweeney and the moves that got made, I do wonder what kind of future he's anticipating this is going to be, because for a while, Don Sweeney has had real trouble in this type of position, in a position where it's an important draft. A important player may have retired or is planning to retire or his contract's going to be up and they're trying to fill back in at that position and trying to get the next generation of Bruins players. And right now, I mean, outside of Lori, I guess maybe Beecher, but I mean, there's not really much to hang your hat on when it comes to the young Bruins. And I think with Lauri, who does have potential, and I think is someone who you don't give up on, but with him, Beecher, Potras, etc., you have some makings for the future, but not enough. And if you want to get anything out of David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy before these guys age out, then you got to get this process going now. I mean, you do. It's just they're not. It's not enough right now. It shouldn't be a 10-year rebuild. It shouldn't be something that takes a decade to get back to. But it needed to happen. And I'll miss Brad Marchand. I'm not rooting for Florida, but I will miss Brad Marchand. And that's all the time we have here today. I want to say thanks to Jacob Lasner for fact-checking my Steph Curry thing. Which 8,000 seems like a lot, but I'll assume that he's right. I'll defer to the guy with the computer out. And that's all for me. I'm back at 6 o'clock on Monday. It's the Christian Arcan Show all week long. I'll talk to you then. Stick around. Red Sox baseball comes your way right now on Boston Sports Original WEEI. See ya.